We begin Perek Chamish, the fifth chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Torah Menuchot, the laws of the claimant and the defendant in the Sefer Mishpatim Book of Judgments. We continue the theme of the previous parakim discussing the laws of Shvuos Moedim and Miktzos, the oath when a person makes a partial admission to someone else's claim. In this parak, we discuss specifically regarding things which do not have the biblical halacha of Moedim and Miktzos. The Rambam gives halacha aleph regarding that applies to properties and slaves and documents and hektosh. So be'elu dvarma, these are things, she'enish b'na le'manatar, that although a person is going to make a partial admission, there's not going to be a biblical obligation of an oath. There are kakois, properties, real estate, vavodim, slaves, hashtoris, documents, vaktashis, and items belonging to hektosh. And that is, ava b'sha'id b'mikdus, even if he partially admits to the claim, oishiyash lab eidachad, which is equivalent, if there's one aid, one witness testifying that he owes the money. Oishiyash shamar, or let's say he was a guardian, but 20 times the shaman is making a claim of the guardians, which generally is chayiv in the shvuim in that Torah. Or is a pater, he's going to be exempt. Krishnamit says in the pasuk in Shmois, chav beiz, ki yitin ish el re'ehu, and the man's going to give to his friend, and he's the shaman, he's obligated an oath, that's prat lehektish, that excludes hektish, who's not your friend. Kesav akelim. Regarding the pasuk continues, it's only if it's monies or vessels, which is prat l'kakos. That excludes properties. And v'labodim shuk l'kakos. And regarding slaves, which the pasuk equates in the pasuk with snachaltim oisim l'pnecha machrechem l'resha sachuze, it equates the non-Jewish slaves to properties, therefore having the same halacha of being excluded from the halacha of the shvuah. And v'chinyat zeshtaros also it excludes documents because she'en guf mamon. They're not intrinsic value. Like money and vessels, because they're only for the proof in them that, but it's just a piece of paper. Now, but v'kulam nishba shvuas heses. But regarding all of them, there is the rabbinic oath of heses. If the person, the claimant, had at least a definite claim, except for hektish, sh'ava b'ishen nechayv aleim shvu menater. Because although you're right, we just explained from re'ehu that there's no biblical oath, but it's not going to be downgraded to that of a shvuas heses. Tikna chacham, the rabbis instituted she'shavalin ke'ein shel Torah. At least you should take an oath like that of the biblical type of an oath by holding a holy object, not like the heses. Kedish le'izazu mekdesh, that people should not be disgraceful towards hekdesh. Therefore, they upgraded that rabbinic oath. Halacha beis. Shtei sadis mechartili. Let's say the claimant says, oh, you sold me two fields. And the defendant says, le'mechati l'chalach, it's not true, I only sold you one field. Or shnei avadim, he said, two slaves. Or shnei shtaris yesh leviyatcha, or two documents I have by you. And the defendant says, no, ein lecha biyad el shtar echad, I have it echad. It's only one document or one slave. So again, the claim and the defense is here regarding the items that we said don't have biblical oath. Harizan ish b'heses. So even though it's moed v'miktis, he's only obligated in the rabbinic oath of heses. V'chein totim toin v'am, let's say the claimant says, chatzazu, this quarter, the evidzo, this labor, shtarzo, this document, sheyesh lebiyotcha, that I have by you, shalihu, it's mine, vata mechartali, and you sold it to me. Vanitunam, and the defendant says, loy dvar ma'alim, this never happened at all, what are you talking about? This is my field, this is my document. So, bein shehevi atoin eid echad, whether if the claimant brought one witness, bein shehevi, where they didn't bring. Harizanish behesab and if it doesn't make a difference, again, like eid echad, just like moed miktzas, does not apply to these categories, it's only going to be the rinnic oath of heses, and he's going to be exempt. If someone digs in his friend's field, certain types of caves and pits, they've sidua, and it causes a loss to that person. They has to pay. Whether if he's claiming, you dug in my field, boy man says, I didn't dig. So let's say he's claiming that you dug two caves. Boy man says, I only dug one cave. Even he had one witness that saw that he dug. Boy, man, he says, I didn't dig anything. Again, he only has to make a rabbinic oath on all of it, although the Rabbi differentiates between if he claiming that he wants him to fill up his pit, which that's a claim regarding the property, whether he's claiming money for the value of the damage, which that's a claim of money. The Rambam holds that there's no difference, and since both of them are coming from this ruining the ground, they're all going to be exempt from the biblical oath, according to the Rambam. Halacha Gimel continues with, what happens if you have a claim of the two different categories? The one that you are chayiv shvuos moed miktzas and one that you're not. So it depends. Tanu kelim b'karkois. Let's say the claimant says, you owe me vessels, which is included in the pasuk for shvuah, and karkois, and properties, which are not included in the category. So, bein shahid b'chalak karkois, whether he admitted to all the properties, yes, all the properties you're claiming from me, I owe you. But he's denying totally all the vessels, or bein shahid b'chalak kelim, whether he's admitting the other way. He's admitting to all the vessels. But he's denying all the properties. Or, case number three, whether he's admitting to some of the properties, but he's denying some of them. And he's also denying all the vessels. So here you don't have a moed miktzas in just kalim. you have either totally admitting or totally denying the vessels, or doing partial admission and denial in the karka, but not in the vessels. So you're not going to make this in the kelim. Therefore, you're going to be exempt. You're only going to be liable in the rabbinic oath of Hesses. But if he at least admits to some of the vessels and denies some of them, with all the properties, since he's obligated in the oath for Moed Mixis on the partial vessels that he's denying and that he's admitting, so there's a Moed Mixis in the vessels, and he's also denying the property, let's say, which we could say even the bigger Chiddush, Nishba he has to actually swear also on the properties that he's claiming with them. Because Shakol Tana Achas, it's all considered one claim, and since he's Chayv Shvua, a Moed Mixis on that claim, because of the Kalim that is there, so the Karka also that he's denying also has to swear on. And b'chein adin, same thing would apply, but on the kelim b'avadim, let's say he claims from vessels and slaves, or kelim b'shtaros, or vessels and documents. Again, hakol d'nechad, it's all the same thing, we just picked karka, but it's for all those that are excluded from the category, how it plays out when you also claim in kelim. L'chadal, the Ram continues regarding, what do you do with movable items, but are somehow dependent on the land? So tanei anavim ha'im disli batzer, let's say he's claiming from him a certain amount of grapes that are ready to be harvested, but then they're still connected to the ground on the vines. Or tavu yivesho, you have dry grain that's ready to be harvested. And now he's admitting to some of them and denying some of them. You have to swear in the Moed Mixis like all of the movable items. But as the Ram qualifies, as long as you don't need the ground, and the reason that is, anything that's ready to be harvested, it's like it's already harvested, regarding this halacha of denying and admitting. So although it's technically really connected, we view it as if it's disconnected, and if it's not like karka, it's like metatlan, which you have a shuvah made the mixes. But if it still needed the ground for its nourishment, then it's still like the ground for all halachas, and therefore there's not going to be the biblical oath, rather rabbinic oath of Hesses. Halacha hey, hatoin al chaveda ba'amalev. Someone claims from his friend and he says to him, look, shnei chadashim shechanta b'chatzeri, this 2 months rent that you had in my courtyard, v'tachayv li'schar shnei chadashim, you owe me 2 months of the payment for that rent. Boim and he says, no, le shechanti l'chadashach, I only dwelled 1 month in your courtyard. So he's a moed mixtus, he's admitting to part of the claim. And as long as the rent of the month that he's denying was worth 2 silver ma, which we explained already in the third parak, halacha af, that you don't swear on a denial of money less than 2 ma of kesef. So as long as that month that he's denying was worth that amount, nishba has to swear shvud mixes. And the reason for that is because although we're talking about a chatzir, she'ena tainu b'guf hakarka, the claims are not regarding the actual property itself. Everyone agrees it's the owner's. El b'schavah, rather regarding the rental, which is the monies of that. Shumatalim, which is movable items, and therefore it's going to be chayv shvua mixes. Mixes. Halacha Vav continues regarding the claim as it applies to shtaris. So if the claimant says, shtar mesarti lacha, I gave you a document, and basar dinar and hayli bayuraya, and there was 10 dinar over there that was for me a proof, it's a document that's worth money that I gave to you as a deposit of 10 dinar. And the defendant says, lahayt varman, this never happened at all, I don't have any of your documents. So Yeshua Behesis, again, like we said, there's no biblical shvua at all of documents. So he takes the rabbinic oath. What happens if hafach alav? We explained in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav that Shavuos Hesses is one of those oaths that you could flip. So the defendant flips it onto the claimant and it says, you know what? You swear and you collect. So Hariz and Nishba Hesses. So yeah, the claimant makes a rabbinic oath. Shahisa bayi ro'oya lasar dinarim, that he had a document that had a proof of a collection of 10 dinarim. V'abdu b'vedes ashtar, and now he lost it with the loss of his document. V'idlan, he could collect that from the defendant. Now, if the defendant says, emes, truth, mesar to leave avad, you gave it to me, and I lost it. Now, he has a halacha like a shomer, who the Torah exempts the shomer from shtaris. So he's a patah from Shavuos Hesses, and he can be exempt even from b'nei goth. Because shafel pasha b'eva avad patah, because even if it was negligent and got lost, he would be exempt. Like we explained the laws of damages in the seventh parak halacha test. So therefore, if he says true, so then, okay, great, he's off the hook. He wouldn't have to. The other case, he's denying, so he would have to swear. But here, he's admitting, and it's regarding his negligence. For that, he's exempt. Halacha zayin, amr l'chaveir, if someone says to his friend, shtar sheyesh li biyadcha, you know, the document that I have by you, schus sheyesh li bay, there's certain merits that I have in that document. In other words, there's something written over there that's for my benefit. V'zeleimer, and the defendant says, eini maitzi shtari, I'm not producing my document. Eini dam yesh l'cha bayro yaloi, I don't know if my document has any proof for you as a merit. Well, we force him to produce it, and so we could see for ourselves. Let's say the defendant claims, oh, is lost. So we make a generic excommunication on a person who is really lying, but really has it. Now, toin zeh, let's say the claimant claims, he knows for sure, definitively, that the document that has his merits is etzlai, is by him. Don't believe when he's saying it's not there. There's a nishbe hesis. Now, if that's the case, he's making a definite claim, not just a claim, and that the defendant is saying it's lost, which is only cheirim, makes a definite claim, there's a nishbe hesis. She'ena etzlai b'sha'abim b'mendo. Then we require the defendant to take rabbinic oath that it's not by him, and that it's lost from him. Because Ahad Rabbeisen says, Ram, this is how my teachers have ruled. Halacha Tes Katin is regarding what happens if the claimant is a cheresh, a deaf mute, or a shaita, or a mentally deranged, or a katan, or a minor. So the truth is, Einish Bain, we don't swear al tainis cheresh, shaita, or katan on the claim of a deaf mute, mentally deranged, or minor. That is Echra Babatan's asma, whether if he's coming from his own claim, meaning he's saying that you took from me 100 dinarim, or Batan's of or his father's claim, he's saying my father gave you 100 dinarim. And the reason is, Lefisha Zeha Mikta Shahida by Lakatan, because this partial that he's admitting to the minor, in Eli Kamesh Aveda, it's like just returning a lost object, because the child is not so intelligent, and he could have denied it to him. But the fact that he's been part of it was really like of his own goodwill. And we don't make someone swear when there's own goodwill, like that of returning a lost object. So too, let's say he totally denies the claim of, let's say, the child. And then you have one witness who also is obligates in the biblical oath. And he testifies for the child that he owes him the money. He does not swear. Why? Because right, his one witness. But the ancient Teved, there's no quote-unquote claimant. It's only if there's one aid for the claimant. There's no claimant. Why not? Because the claim of a child is not considered a bona fide claim. It's almost like a claim of a shema, which is not considered as a taina to have to swear for. So it comes out that you say like this. A child says to an adult, 100 dinarim that I have by you. My father had by you. The defendant says, no, it's not 100, it's only 50. I don't know you anything. But a single witness comes along and testifies that he does have. Doesn't make a difference. Like we said, he's a part of Mishpat HaTorah. He's exempt from the biblical oath because there's no claim of it. It's that of a child. Now, Avlam Shamala Katan. But if let's say he was watching something for a child, but Tain Shabbat and he claims he got lost, he's a Nishba Shavu Shashem, and he will have to take the biblical oath of a guardian. By the Shemim, it's not because of the claim that the Shemir doesn't swear because of the claim of the one who deposited by him. It's the Torah obligates on the Shemir to make that oath, and therefore it has nothing to do with the fact that the owner is a child. He still has to swear the Shavuos HaShemir. And v'chein so to imhoida, shal yeshutiv lakotin. Let's say if he admits that he was a partner to the child, or abatrabas alav, or caretaker for the child's stuff. In that case, also yamidu bezna abatrabas lakotin, the courts appoint a new caretaker for the child, v'yishava hashutiv v'kayitzabay, and the partner has to swear to that new caretaker to the courts. And the reason that is because even though it's b'tayin neshama, but the oath of partners and abatropas were instituted, as we said this in the first parak halacha beis, even for a doubtful claim. And therefore, even though the child is considered as b'tayin neshama, there's still the obligation of a shvuas of the shutiv and that of the abatropas. Halacha yod, Hayr Rabbeisa says the Rambam, my teachers, the Rimagash, ruled, she'enesh b'ayin al-tayinus cotton. We don't swear for the claim of a child, shvur shal Torah. Meaning, like we said before, when we said, inesh b'en l'katan, that you don't swear to the child, there are some exceptions, but in general, like we said, that you don't swear, that's regarding the biblical oath. Of a shvur has this inesh b'en, regarding the rabbinic oath, we do make the person swear. And if you cut and chain the chodef l'inim azamata, even if it's a child that's not so intelligent to do business dealings, inesh b'en hesas al tanos, we still have to swear a rabbinic oath on his claim. And the reason for that is, we don't want anyone to take a child's money when there's a minor and then get off scot-free. Because, oh, I don't have to swear, it's a child. And says, and that's how my opinion is also inclined. But it's also a remedy for the world to protect the needs of the children. So it comes out that you learn like this. If you have a minor that claiming against an adult, whether the adult admits to part of it, whether he denies the whole thing, whether there was a witness over there, whether there was not a witness over there. Again, there's no biblical oath. But in any way, he has to take the rabbinic oath of Hesus. And he cannot flip it, which generally by Hesus you can flip it onto the child, cannot flip it onto the, meaning to the claimant, cannot flip it onto the child in this case, because we don't make children take oaths at all. And he cannot even accept which we require sometimes for the one who's making a claim, maybe it's not true, and therefore he has to accept a generic excommunication, he doesn't know the punishment of oaths, and therefore even that the child doesn't have to accept. Halacha Yiraf now goes the other way around. If the child is the defendant, previous halacha we spoke about if the child is the claimant, he was talking about if he is the defendant. So, Katan, if you have a child, that the adult is claiming money from the child, it depends. We look out for the rights of the children. If he's coming from something that there is benefit to the child, like business dealings, the child has to be able to support himself. And the child's admitting to the claim, okay, then we pay it out from his assets because he's admitting and it's good for him that you know people are going to want to do business with him. Now, if he doesn't have money, okay, we wait till he has, and then Misham, then he'll pay. Let's say the child, however, denies the claim. Then we wait till the child becomes an adult, and then he takes the rabbinic oath of Hesses. But what happens if let's say he claims from the child something that the child does not have any benefit, let's say paying up for damages or injuries where there's no benefit, it's not business dealings, not benefit for the child. Then even if the child admits to it, and even if he has what to pay from, is given exempt, that's even after he becomes an adult, because the child is not obligated for what he did. Now, what happens if the claimant was from one of those categories where the claimant could swear and collect? By an employee, by a worker. The halacha allows, although generally it's not like that, but he could swear how much he's owed and he could collect. Now, where, let's say there's, in that case, there's benefit for the child because he wants to be able to get employees, to get workers. If no one's going to be able to collect, no one's going to want to work for the child. Okay, then he's in this rabbinic my cut, and then he gets swear and collect from the child. Avol, but which is another case where the one who's collecting could swear and collect, which is when you have the storekeeper who's swearing regarding his ledger that you told me to feed your workers, and the workers are swearing they didn't get paid yet, and he's swearing he gave them, where actually both generally could collect from the employer. In this case, in an ishbabinit l'makotin, that type of case of the storekeeper cannot swear and collect from the child because the child doesn't get any benefit from that. Because he has to now pay his workers because they're also not going to all work for him. And when they're swearing and collecting from him. And but then he's going to have to double pay from the storekeeper, which is not a benefit from him. And what's with the storekeeper? He caused the loss himself. Because he gave the money based on what the child said. You shouldn't be doing that. And the chikitz is similar, anything similar like that, and therefore they cannot be nishba v'naitul from the cotton. Alochid Beis continues regarding the claims not of a child, but of the other categories of a deaf mute, mentally deranged, and a blind person. So acheres v'asheita, a deaf mute and a mentally deranged person, in skarkel hem l'chol taina, we do not get involved as courts for any claims either way. Lila tanosna alchem, not for them, their claims on others. Lila tanos alchem alim, not for others' claims on them. Lila shibukalim, not for a light oath. And we don't have to say for sure we don't get involved for a severe oath or for any type of a payment. What they're doing has no halachic significance. But regarding a blind person, he's considered like a healthy person about all things regarding these topics about these monetary ideas. And they take all types of oaths. And the other people have to take oath based on the claim of the blind person.